This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is a Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry, and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcast live at Virgin Hotel, and we have a crazy show tonight. We have the team from Social Work Chicago. We're going to talk to them about all the great work they're doing. We've got Corbin Reef here going to be talking about his new book, Light is in the Sky. We're going to be talking a lot about Kanye West and Nine Inch Nails, because that's what I'm going to be doing with Corbin Reef, man. But we're starting off with a crew who's doing really, really, I think, exciting work in Chicago. I've been seeing what you guys have been doing. I've been seeing the name forever, and I'm really glad we got to start this dialogue tonight, because I've been wanting to have you guys on the podcast for a minute. We've got the team from Private Stock here tonight. Jason and Hersan, I'm going to let you guys pronounce your last names, because, again, as somebody whose name has been butchered a billion times, I don't want to do that to you guys.
Hersan Escobar.
Right. Jason Valcarcel.
There we go. Right on. So, Jason, Hersan from Private Stock. How are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good, good. Lovely.
Yeah. Thank you for coming up here. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. We appreciate it.
Yeah. You guys, so let's start at the beginning. This is what we always do. We always kind of get this, like, background origin story. Like, how did music start for you guys, even before Private Stock? Like, when did this begin for each of you?
I guess I'll start, but we have different stories, but similar paths. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it started with my brother. Just, like, back in the days, he had every single CD from DMX to Dipset, Juvenile, Mystical. I mean, the list goes on. You know, my family, my mom cleaning with the loud music. So yeah. It just always derived from that, and that always stemmed in me. And then high school came about, and a couple of my friends and I just got together and just started making music, and I was just kind of behind the scenes pushing the music and just going out there, being vocal, meeting people, and all the way up to I met Jason, which I pretty much known my whole life, but until we decided to partner up, and that was like about the time that I was 18.
Right on.
For me, it started with my parents. My mom was a lead singer of a salsa band, and my dad was a live engineer, so they always took me to the concerts, mm-hmm. and I was always around Latin music, and I loved it. And then in the 90s, my dad opened up a recording studio with his friend, and top acts like Mark Anthony would be there at the beginning mm-hmm. of their careers. So it was a really exciting time for my life, and it was just instilled in me. Like, I knew I always wanted to do music from a really young age.
And so both you guys, you had that happening in the forefront of your life, where you're, you know, supporting your friends. You got the recording studio, like your family's showing you the way. So talk about connecting and the birth of Private Stock. Like, how did this idea come together between the two of you?
It's the funniest story. I always like telling it because I was just there and I was always like arguing with Jason. So he's like, I'm doing this, G. I'm just doing this. So basically, we had been working with each other and some other people for a long time. And I just remember Jason had just finished basically parting ways with everyone. And he just was ready for a new beginning. And we're in his back porch just chilling, casually talking, just normal stuff. And he's like, for a while, he had been tagging some pictures with Smoko Uno, Poppy Beats, and a couple other guys before, you know, they mm-hmm. even blew up to today. And it would just say Private Stock. And it was literally in his back porch, what it was. Like, they were just yeah. going in there recording or just meeting with him, and it was just Private Stock, Private Stock. He starts explaining to me the concept behind it and, like, how he sees the vision. And he's just there. And during the time, we had a video production company, so we were turning in our room in Fort Knox. And he just tells me, like, let's just build a studio. And I'm looking at him like, you're fucking crazy. I'm sorry.
Like, it's that simple. Let's just build a yeah. studio. Like, what are we doing today?
Yeah, let's build a studio. Let's take the space and let's build a studio. I'm like, what? It doesn't make any sense. And he's like, let's just do it. And, you know, after about an hour of talking, I was like, let's do it.
Yeah, man, it's that simple.
And literally, I drew him a picture. And yeah. he's like, that shit's not going to fit in there. I'm like, trust me, it's going to fit. I got this. And, even at Fort Knox, it was funny because I wanted to build a studio, and they're like, we can't do that for you. They didn't think we were serious is what it really came down to.
Sure.
So we literally came with a check, and we're like, we're ready to do this. So
yeah,
let's turn this into
check
a studio.
And design.
Yeah. There you go.
Once you have the check, then the conversation always turns real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you guys, and how long were you at Fort Knox before the actual Private Stock concept came together?
A year and a half?
Yeah, we were there for like 2-3 years probably. Hard to say.
Yeah, like year and a half, 2 years, and then we turned into a studio.
So you were doing like video work before mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, video production only.
And was that all around music as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was always music.
And we had a little recording studio in there as well, so I just wanted a full-fledged like recording studio.
And so, you know, I've seen the photos, and I want to check out the space at some point, but I've seen the photos, and it looks very professional. It looks like you guys did not half-ass this. Is that the case?
No, I was really inspired by the studios that I used to go to as a young kid, and I drew out every studio, and I used my little drafting skills from high school, and I got what I wanted out of that. I was very meticulous and tedious. Like, I have OCD with that stuff. So.
You're that details guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every crew needs, like, one guy that, like, is the details guy.
He makes fun of me all the time. Yeah.
But it gets things done, I bet.
Absolutely.
And something that I know is really important to Private Stock that really comes across in everything you guys do and all the photos, all the materials, is that, like, it's all about community, it looks like. Like, talk about the community you guys have been able to build up, because it looks like it's a lot of, like, friends and people who you're really close with.
Well, I mean, as far as, like, our inner team, those are been, like, my friends since high school, or people that I've known probably, like, 10-year plus. So it's, like, really, like, really brotherhood, sisterhood. Like, there's females involved as well. So it's a very tight niche of people who've just known each other for a long time. And we've been working with each other before the Private Stock name came about. So it was just kind of, like, a continuous thing of going.
It's,
but
it's family with the same
goal. It's pretty much family.
Mm-hmm. And you're just putting a label on it now.
Yeah, we share a vision.
Yeah. And a lot of the people that are doing work with you guys have gone on to become notable names in Chicago. Like, has that raised their profile? I mean, it has raised their profile, I would think. But, like, how has that impacted what you guys do in your day-to-day there?
I think it solidifies us, and it also allows people to trust us. Mm-hmm. And so we get a lot of clients because they know the quality of the work. And
right.
So we didn't just want to move. We wanted to make sure that we had quality behind that. And I tell people all the time, we have not only do we have a spectacular team that's tight-knit, but we have the best engineers in the city.
Talk about some of the engineers that you have working with Private Stock.
That's cool, actually. We got Poppy Beats.
Yeah.
Who's obviously got now, like, 10 records with Vic in the last 2 years.
It's huge.
And he also mixed all of Tago. There's a lot going on. Then we have Studio Steve, and we literally call him Studio Steve. He's been in the game for 14 years. He's had everybody from, like, Bum J to Twista to
the legends.
Rhymefest.
To Rhymefest to the, even 2012 when the scene started popping, he was doing all that stuff in the South, too.
Well, and everyone you just named, those are the names before anyone was looking at Chicago hip-hop.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird to think about now, but I've been doing this 20 years. I remember when this was, like, a guitar town,
mm-hmm.
you know, and acts like Crucial Conflict and, like, Do or Die and stuff. Like, they were there, but you had to, like, really know about them.
Yes.
And now it's such a different kind of sense in Chicago where, like, hip-hop has really, like, it's just established itself as, like, the driving creative force here, which is amazing. But there is something really cool to hear about, like, somebody who was there before it was, like, the thing that everyone knew about.
Because
mm-hmm. I used to work at a, like, CD manufacturing, how far back it goes, CD manufacturing company out of Bridgeport, a little mom-and-pop DIY, and you would get, like, Do or Die and Crucial Conflict and stuff coming in there and picking up their mix CDs.
Yeah.
And that was when, like, if I had told anybody, like, oh, I'm working with these names, nobody would have known. You know, so that's really cool.
That 2012 was really inspiring. That renaissance in Chicago really helped, like, pave the way for all of us, and we wanted to be in the forefront of that. And like you said, we're the guys behind the scene, but we've touched everything from Chance to Vic to Rocky Fresh. Anything that mm-hmm. popped from that renaissance, we were a part of, too. So it's been an awesome journey.
So, you know, being a part of what's happening right now and all the Chicago renaissance things, everything that's happening, how does that, I guess, change the mission, or how does that, like, help you guys move forward? Or, you know, when you have a project that you're involved with, like a Chance or a Vic, like, you know, what's the outcome of that, or how does that change things?
What it's really inspired us to do is we want to not have to go and move to New York or LA to have the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be the industry in Chicago. We want to be that imprint where, you know, you can grow and spread your wings and you can be an international star. You don't have to leave the city to do that.
And that's another relatively newer thing.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that everybody left for L.A. I mean, Kanye's got songs about that, you know, like home and or homecoming, you know. Like, it used to be you had to leave here, and now you're seeing more and more and more creatives of every concentration, it seems like, film, fashion, music, everything, who are staying here.
Yeah, and I get it when it's a small city, but we're a major city, so it doesn't even make sense that we have to leave a major city, a beautiful city like this.
Especially not now.
No, absolutely not.
It's incredible. So if somebody, you know, an artist, a producer, a musician, and maybe even somebody who doesn't fall under that label, like, if somebody wanted to get involved with what Private Stock is doing, Who are you guys looking for? How can they do that? Like, talk about the outreach component.
You know, we're two companies, right? We're the umbrella is Private Stock, but we have a recording studio as a business, and then we have that label. We use the studio as a way to bring in clients, but it's also our way of scouting talent and knowing who's really serious about their craft. Before we work with anyone, we want to know that they're fully invested in what they're doing.
Sure.
We don't want the person that's just looking for the oop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want the guy who really wants it, who's hungry.
And those who wants to have, like, longevity.
Absolutely.
I teach at Columbia College, and I talk about this in my podcast all the time, but something I see a lot is that the younger generation, and I think this is what they've been told, they want to know how to get famous and rich today.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get 1 million Instagram likes today. They're not thinking about, like, how do I build a career that I'm going to have for 15 years, for 30 years?
Yes.
I don't think people think about that anymore as much.
No, and you can tell in a lot of the music, too.
Right.
I want that artist who's going to transcend and, like, change something, you know? Change the culture.
Yeah, somebody who actually has some substance. Yeah,
absolutely.
So you guys have the label and you have the studio. What have been some success stories you guys have seen? Because, of course, you know, Chance and Vic, everybody knows those names. So what have been some moments that changed things for you guys, or you saw something within your walls and you go, oh, my gosh, this means something?
I think L.A. Van Gogh has been a turning point for us where we're like, this kid's special.
Yeah, and his name, we've had him on the podcast, and his name's popping up all the time.
Yeah, same thing with Icon.
Mm-hmm. Icon. It's
just,
another
he
one.
He just dropped his project, Origami.
Icon's had
been
incredible.
Getting a lot of love, so.
Yeah. The numbers have been crazy.
Yeah.
He's a producer, you know, so it's like him getting all that love is just amazing.
Well, and I think we're in an era now, too, where, like, people care about who the producer is. You know, there's a lot more shine in the whole team. People want to know what studio someone recorded in. People want to know who designed the T-shirt, who designed the sneakers, like, you know, who took the photos, who made the website. Yeah. Like, everybody's a player in it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's kind of the vision moving forward now that Private Stock has really been established? Because it looks like 2017 has been a great year for you guys. Where do you want to take that?
I want to it's funny you say that because we've been talking
just
about it.
Just talked about it right now, the whole car ride here.
We want our own building in the center of the city, somewhere like Pilsen.
Yeah.
And we don't only want to build it for the label and the studio, but, you know, Chicago's not supporting kids creatively, and they're taking away their art programs, their music programs, and whatnot. And I want to have a building where I can give 200 to 300 hours to urban kids, you know, like the inner city kids, and really show them what the music business is about and have other stuff built into that, you know? I want to expand.
You know, and that it's great you say that, because that's something I'm hearing from a lot of people. We were just talking with Mel Safford from Chicago Ideas Week last week here, and she was talking about the initiatives that Chicago Ideas Week is taking to connect with students, you know. And hearing you guys talk about making that a priority, and I have no doubt we're going to talk about that with Social Works next. Like, I just think it's so important, and people are finally waking up to the fact that, like, if you invest in the next generation, even though it sounds very obvious, if you invest in the next generation, great things happen.
Absolutely. And we know the talent's here. I mean, look what's been happening the last 5 years. It's been crazy.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, like, I don't know, is it worth it?
No, we should definitely invest in our kids and see what they got and show them the way. Why not?
And I think a place in Pilsen would be great. I think something accessible that everybody can...
All sides of the city can come to.
Totally, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm in Pilsen, and it's an incredible creative community there.
I love being there.
Yeah. So, you guys have the producers, you've got the label. Talk about, like, the process of I guess bring me through the process of, like, an artist comes in day one, and like, I want to do something with you guys, like... What's that process from, like, when they walk in to when the finished product or project comes out?
It's been so different with everyone. I mean, when we do finally decide that we want to work with someone and we want to partner up with them, it's going to be a partnership. We're going to do this together. We're going to share your vision and bring it to life. We always focus on the product first before anything else.
Yeah.
It could be a long process. I know with L.A., it was, I don't know if you remember Safe and Sound. That project that he came out with a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's what we talked to him about.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, yeah, it might have been Friends First that you...
It might have been that one.
So it was Safe and Sound, and we wanted to see his creative process first to see where we could take it and how to expand on that. So he dropped that project, and that was a combo project with Ambilyrics. And after we saw that, we knew that we could build upon that and see where he wanted to take his music. But the process, I mean, it depends on each artist or producer, really. We don't have, like, a fixed game plan for anyone. It's really organic the way it happens.
It's just individual for each one.
Absolutely.
what are some of the challenges of running a studio and or a label? Because I cannot imagine that either one is easy all the time.
The problem here is that everything's in-house and our team is very, very small right now. And it's not that it's a problem, but, you know.
Yeah, you guys are pretty hands-on.
We're completely hands-on. Everything's in-house from PR to artwork to even videos at one point, photography, like very, very, very much in-house.
Well, and the upside of that is that you have kind of full creative control then. But the downside is that you have to do every single thing yourself.
Yeah. I mean, my OCD kind of kicks in with that. I kind of want that control right now, only because I want to see where everything is going.
Right. But do you see it really moving to a point where you guys might have to, like, bring on that bigger team? Well, and
we're doing that now. We're talking to a lot of different colleges and universities, and we're building an intern program where we can host 60 to 100 interns and, you know, really push the brand forward.
It makes a huge difference. I have a ton of great contributors now, and I have in the past, like, who... Even just doing this podcast once a week or twice a week, it's like, man, it makes a huge difference if you have some people helping carry the vision
forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the studio, it's in Fort Knox. The label's based at Fort Knox. What are you guys looking for from talent that comes in? If somebody pitches you, like, you know, I mean, you said you're looking for somebody who's serious, but, like, how can someone make a good impression on you?
I mean, it's really just, like, showing us that you really want to put in the hard work, the dedication towards this just as much as we want to do, you know? It's something that we gather up as a team and decide if we really want to make that decision and, like, go all in with this artist. But at the same time, we want the artist to be truly invested in us as much as they are, you know, because we have a vision and everything that we're trying to bring to life. So we're trying to help them out. So if they feel the same way with us and about us, then we want to grow with them. But I think it's just the process is just, you know, we obviously have to like them as the music, the individual. We don't just sign people right away. You know, we kind of build something up. We also show them our worth before we even do. Like,
one thing we do the 6-month thing where we don't sign them, and we just try to grow as, you know, we try to grow a friendship and a working relationship at the same time. And if that works well and it doesn't clash, then
it has to be organic. It has to feel organic. That's all.
We just don't want to have that thing where something goes south and we put in all this work and now we've parted ways. We want to grow with this artist and take it to the next level together.
For sure. Who are some, you know, because everyone knows Chance, everyone knows Vic, everyone knows Saba, like, who are some artists that people might not know that are on your guys' radar that you think might be the next wave or are doing something really important here?
We have L.A. Van Gogh, who I think is tremendous, you know. I think he has a bright career ahead of him. His project is dropping October 24th. Everything's subjective. We have, if you want to name someone.
Joe Fred. I think Joe Fred's part of the Chinza Fly crew, and he's really special. He's a Filipino rapper, and he's just got great beat selection, and the melodies and his songwriting is incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about him. He's dropped his first project just a month ago, and he's going to have a bright future as well.
What advice would you give for anyone watching this, listening, whatever, like, who's like, man, I kind of want to, like, get to that point where I can do something on the level of what you guys are doing, or I want to be an artist who gets recognized by private stock? Like, what advice do you have for young creatives?
You know, I tell them, don't let anyone stop you. Like, you don't need us to get to the next level. Everything's so... The resources are out there on the internet.
They are now.
And I feel like if you want it, you'll just go get it.
Yeah, it's amazing how many things you can look up. You can find tutorials. You can, like, find resources, message boards, whatever.
Unlimited source of resources. It's ridiculous.
You really have no excuse to be like, I don't know how to do that anymore.
No way.
Yeah. Plans for next year? You're looking at the bigger space?
We're looking at the next few quarters, or the next 2 to 3 projects that we're about to release. We're looking to find out how we want to create that space in Pilsen, and it's just a lot of stuff coming down the line.
And what could people do if they want to help support what you guys are doing? If they want to help support private stock, like, what are you looking for that would be helpful?
You know,
studio time.
Yeah.
They might be on the lookout. I think I want to make that project I told you about a little bigger for Pilsen thing. It might be something that I might want to crowdfund.
That'd be great.
This building, you know. I think it's a vision that a lot of people can believe in and want to be a part of. So,
yeah.
That might be the next step.
I dig it, man. I really love that idea. What I always say to people, and I always mean it's like, the mics are on, so, like, as you have more developments, as there are new chapters, please come back and talk to us about, like, the Pilsen building, new things you have going on, or you've got my email. Yeah. If you get somebody in the studio and you're like, you need to talk to this person, shoot my line. Like, let me know who you think is great. I would love to speak to them on the podcast.
Most definitely.
Definitely.
I dig it, man. Private Stock, doing really exciting work in Chicago, building here with the community, and keeping it local, not moving to LA. I love that. I love that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
I think it's all about keeping talent here and just building and strengthening everything. Jason and Hersan from Private Stock, I really appreciate you guys coming up. And like I said, please, let's keep the conversation going as new things happen, because I want to keep talking about these awesome things, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you so much, guys.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at DynastyPodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.